great to be with you this morning to open the Word of God to you. We're going to be in Psalm 139. If you haven't turned there in your Bible, there's also Bibles in front in the pew or in the chair next to you. You're welcome to read with me as I read along. I thought, what would the Lord have for us for Mother's Day? To be reminded of the honor that is due those who have given their lives to investing in the next generation. Well, I thought, for one, the question of who are you? You know, the world is telling all of us, in general, messages of who we are or who you can be. You can be all that you can be. That sounds pretty strong, but then you go, yes, what do I be? It's a great slogan, of course. Obviously for the military, but sometimes that slogan loses its power when you wonder, who am I to be? Is it a mother? Is it another role? Is it father? Is it mentor to a mentee? Is it single or married? Is it with a spouse or someone who has even lost a spouse? Who am I now? And I think this morning I just wanted to encourage all of us, women and mothers included, that we need to be reminded who we are in God and who God says we are. So, for my 3-year-old daughter's birthday last year, we had a wonderful birthday party. And she got this really cool book called Happy Birthday to You. And in there, there's a phrase that says, today you are you. That is truer than true. There was no one alive who is youer than you. Who knows who that's from? Oh, come on. You all, I'm sure, could say Dr. Seuss. There is no one alive who is youer than you. I love that. Of course, we decorated all these kinds of things for her birthday party. I don't even know if she's talked about Dr. Seuss since her second birthday party, but that was apparently what she wanted, and we got to decorate cheese sticks with Dr. Seuss faces, if you've ever seen those. But his little phrase in his Happy Birthday to You book is very true. There is no one more truer than true, and no more youer than you. So who am I? Well, I want us to see in Psalm 139 that there's 4 things that this scripture teaches us of who you are. Especially for mothers, where every magazine and every billboard and every bulletin is telling moms and women in general who to be. Same thing for men. Pop-ups on the internet, all kinds of banners and ads telling us what to go after, who we are to be next, what's the next big thing. For some of you in school, you're asking this question, who am I going to be? I haven't yet asked that of my 3-year-old Elizabeth. So when you grow up, who do you want to be? I don't know what she would say yet. I guess I need to ask her. I'm very curious. There's a song by artists called Shane and Shane. I don't know if you've heard of those two friends from Texas. They go all across the country, probably even internationally, but I love their music. One of their songs is called This Is Who I Am. I just want to read to you a few phrases of that lyric. This is who I am. I am a new creation. The old is passed away, and I am made new. I am made new. I have been adopted. The door is opened up for me to know you, to know God and to be like you. This is who I am. I've been born again. The cross is my defense, my hope secure. Now my life is in your hand. On your every word I will stand. I'm finding who I am in all that you, God, are. The second verse says, Jesus, you have searched me. And even in your finding, you have loved me. And you love me. The four things I want us to be reminded of this morning for all of us in general. When we ask, who am I? This is who God says you are. And that lyric in that song, This Is Who I Am by Shane and Shane, says it very well. Jesus, you have searched me, and even in your finding, you have loved me. You are known. You are not alone. You have been created by God, your creator, and you are being led by God, your father. Those are the four things I want us to look at in Psalm 139. He knows you. He is with you. He made you. And he leads you. And as I was looking through this psalm, there's actually more than that, but we'll keep it at four. Because if I go to six or seven or eight, then everyone falls asleep. So, but isn't it so powerful, this statement, to be fully known, to be fully known and yet fully loved? Do you know that that is the good news of the gospel? That is the good news of Jesus Christ? That he knows everything about us? God knows everything about us. He knows our deepest, darkest secrets. And he died for those. And he loves you to be fully known and yet fully loved. That is our God. That is our Savior. Look at verses 1 through 6 of Psalm 139. Well, how well does the Lord know me? This is one of the most beautiful psalms of God's complete knowledge of everything and his complete knowledge of us and his complete power and his presence. Let's begin in verse 1. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all of my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Before we go any further, I want to pray that God's word would speak to us this morning. Father, that beginning verse, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my weaknesses. You know my strengths. You know when I have fallen. You know when I have been like a prodigal son, yelled at your face, ran away to do my own thing, loved my pride, loved my life more than being a son of my father. And yet, like that prodigal story in Luke 15, you ran to me and embraced me once again as I came back helpless and broken and in need of redemption. You gave me a robe, you kissed me, and you let me wear the best ring, and you had a feast for me. the prodigal son who had run away. Lord, you know all about us. We cannot hide anything from you. And Lord, it says your word searches us to the deepest parts. I pray that Psalm 139 would search our hearts and not find us in judgment, but become a comfort to us. Not be one that condemns us, but be one that encourages us. We have a Savior who loves us, even in fully knowing us. May your word convict us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. A pastor in New York City, Tim Keller, says, "To be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be loved but not known, it feels comfortable, but it's superficial. To be known, completely known and yet not loved, is our greatest fear." Some of us, when we read Scripture, it reveals our hearts. It brings us bare. It goes, it's totally right. It knows me better than I know myself. But if we don't mix that with the God that has loved us, it leads to fear. He goes on to say, "But to be fully known and truly loved is what being loved by God is like." That in our deepest secrets and darkest sins, God loves us. And for you ladies or mothers to be in the thick of raising kids or losing a kid or the other trials that come, He fully knows you. He fully sees what you're going through. And He loves you. You might say, "He loves me? I don't know if I can believe that. You don't know my story. You don't know what I'm going through." God is one who permits things such as sin, things that He hates, so that He can accomplish the things that He loves. God, at times, will permit what He hates to accomplish what He loves. That comes from a lady named Johnny Erickson Tada, who as a college student jumped into a lake, didn't realize that it was a very shallow lake, and was paralyzed all four limbs for the rest of her life. And one of her friends was with her as she was crying out to God and saying, "Why? Why this?" He said, "Sometimes God allows the things that break His heart to accomplish the things that are dearest to His heart. He allows the things He hates to accomplish the things He loves." If you don't know Johnny Erickson Tada, you should go read her story. But she has been a light and a witness of joy, a paraplegic who has joy in the Lord and shares that with many handicapped and those who are disabled, and says, "Trials may come, but God is greater than all of those things. He uses those to bring forth His glory." But the Lord knows us more than we even know ourselves. "Oh Lord, you have searched me and known me." Verse 3, "You are acquainted with all of my ways." He knows when we get up. He knows when we sit down. He knows when we rise. He knows when we go to sleep. We will continue to read. He knows our thoughts. Isn't it amazing? Even before a word is on our tongue, the Lord knows it. But let's not forget, we have to bring this and join that truth with the good news of Jesus, that in knowing all things about us, Jesus Christ, God's Son, still went to the cross for us so that we can be completely known and completely loved. I think that is the safest place to be. That is a place where we can cry out to God and say, "You already know what's in my heart. You already know the trial." Or we can thank the Lord and say, "You're the one who brought the blessing. You're the one who brought the healing. You knew this before I even knew this." God knows all things, past, present, future. For some, that might bring fear. But for those who have trusted in Jesus Christ, that brings a comfort and a safety that your week ahead this week is already known by your loving Father. The blessing that might come is coming from His hand. The trial that may come has already been planned and known by Him. He knows you. Also, He is with you. Look at verse 7 through 12. "Where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, 'Surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night,' even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you." Ladies, men, all of us, children, youth, college students, He promises that when we have Christ, we have trusted in Him by faith, He is never going to leave us. I love that psalm, "Even in the darkness, for God, the darkness is not dark to Him." There is no greater promise of security better than this promise, that God is with us, with you at work, with you with your kids, with you as you travel, with you as you hear really difficult news. He is never going to leave you. There is no greater protection and promise than that. Where can I go from your spirit? Do you remember the one who thought he could test that? Jonah. The story in the Old Testament of one that God called to be a witness and a light, and Jonah ran the other way. He thought he could outrun God. And God found him at sea. God put him in the sea. God rescued him in the sea with a fish, pretty large fish. And God redirected his steps. And Jonah said, "Oh, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" Even Jonah cries out to the Father at the depths of the sea, and God rescues him, puts his feet back on solid ground. And he says, "I am with you, Jonah. I will always be with you. Don't ever forget that." Job, in his afflictions, understood that the Lord was with him. He said, "If the Lord gives or if the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord." The Lord is his protection. Isaiah 41:10 says, "The Lord is with us. We do not need to fear, even if it's through water or fire or flood. He will get us through." I love that passage. Isaiah 41, Isaiah 42, and 43. Just a reminder that he knows us by name. He is with us in all of life's circumstances. You are fully loved, even when you're fully known. Your past is not a surprise to God. Your sin, he loves you in it and wants to see you be redeemed from it. Fully loved and fully known. He is with you in all of your circumstances. Christ told his disciples a promise. It's a promise for all of us. When Christ was about to depart in John 14 and John 16, he said, "I am sending you a helper, one who will be with you, who will guide you. He will lead you into all truth. He will show you what you need to know. His name is the Holy Spirit." That is God's promise to us. That though we prayed, "Lord Jesus, come," he has given us the Holy Spirit now. We have the Father and the Son's presence in us through the Holy Spirit in whom they sent. Part of the Trinity, the person of God called the Holy Spirit, is in us and with us if we have trusted in Jesus Christ. No wonder the psalmist can say, "Oh Lord, search me. If there be anything in me, cleanse me from that." Because he already knew that the Lord knew everything about him and he loved him. And he already knew that the Lord was completely with him. Thirdly, he knows that he was made by his Creator. Look at verses 13 through 16. I pray this would be a comfort to you. Sarah and I, this is one of our favorite psalms. We have enjoyed reading this in the evenings. It's been quite a struggle with two little kids to make sure that stays a routine, but I remember in the first formidable years of our marriage, we would open up the Word of God at night before bed and read Psalm 139 and just remind ourselves, this is who God says we are. Remind my wife, God has created you. What does the Lord say? "For you formed my inward parts." The Lord has formed us. He knitted us together in my mother's womb. "I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Those words bring words of reverence and awe. The psalmist here is saying, "I've been made with awe." I don't know if you've ever looked into the study of the body and how it works and how it's made and how it even heals itself and how it functions. Can you not just be amazed, to stand in awe? Scientists are still discovering, I think they call it new organs, that they've not realized function within our body to keep us alive and healthy. I know some of you give testimony when you're in the hospital, you ask the doctors, how can you not stand in awe when you see and study the body every single day, when you do surgeries and you wonder, how does this all work together? Because we have been fearfully, awesomely would be the word, and wonderfully made. That word for wonderful is to be distinguished, to be set apart, to be you. There's no one more you-er than you. God has made us each so differently. He has knit us together and formed us We continue to read, "Wonderful are your works, O Lord," in verse 14. "My soul knows it very well." The psalmist is just exclaiming in praise how wonderful your works are when he thinks about how God has made us. "My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet there was none of them." He knows your days, every single one. And again, it comes down to love. If you love God, that brings comfort. There is not a single day of your life that is outside the understanding and knowledge and control of the Father. He knows every single day numbered for you. If you don't love the Lord, that can bring fear. He knows your days, the last of your days as well. But in his book, it says, were written every single day. For those who have trusted in Christ, that is a great comfort. He has made you. He has thought of how he has put you together in your mother's womb, given you the gifts and abilities, strengths and weaknesses that only you have. Your frame was not hidden from the Lord when it was being wrought in secret. What does the psalmist do? He says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." May you be comforted this morning that he knows everything about you. You are fully known and fully loved. That he is nowhere that we are not. That he is with us in everything. He is everywhere with us. We cannot run from his presence. That he has made us. And what does the psalmist do? He results in praise and exclamation out of the Father who knows us, the Father who is not going anywhere, who is everywhere, and the Father who has made us. He says in verse 17, "How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you." The psalmist thinks of how precious the Father is. How amazing that the Father would even think upon us, his creatures. Psalm 8, I love that psalm. It says, "What is man that you are mindful of him? That you would reach your arm down, stretch out your arm, and rescue us. Who are we that you would put your time into us?" And yet if you flip that around, it shows us his great love, that he does stretch out his arm to us. And he did send us his only son to die on the cross for us. And he did and does send the Holy Spirit to those who trust in him. Oh, how precious his thoughts are of us. If I could count them, they're more than the sand. Because God knows us and he's with us and he's made us, it also gives us a reaction here from the psalmist in verse 19. "Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? Do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies." Strong language. But when we love the things that God loves, we also grow to hate the things that God hates. The psalmist is thinking of the enemies around him, but I want us to think too that when we understand who we are in Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, how he has made us and is with us, we begin to hate the things that he hates, including our sin. He begins to change our hearts to want to walk in the way of righteousness, to want to turn from the things that grieve his heart. Our heart changes to hate the things that he hates. He knows you. He is with you. He has made you. But look at the end here, verse 23 and 24. He leads you. And what I have there in the notes is, never forget to fearfully follow the Lord. Do you know Psalm 31:30 says, the woman who fears the Lord, she is to be praised. Praised in the gates, praised in the community, praised with family and friends. Who is this woman who is to be praised? The one who fears the Lord. And it's interesting to think about, well, what does that mean to fear the Lord? And it's this idea that we revere and stand in awe of something so magnificent that instead of running from it, we run to it. Some things cause us to flee because it is so terrifying, so awesome, like a tornado or a hurricane, as we see in our own country. But there is a power that is so awesome, wonderful, terrifying, that it actually causes us to run to it. Because to run away from God is to fear him out of the wrong reason. But to run to God is to fear him as your shelter and your safety. It's almost like understanding the eye of the storm. If I run there, there's a calm and a safety. God is that calm center, the safe shelter amidst the storm that is all around. Who is to be praised? A woman who fears the Lord. And I believe what the psalmist is saying here is he's calling and crying out, lead me in the way everlasting. Let's read 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In seeing the bigness and awesomeness of God, the psalmist doesn't run from God, but he says, take my hand and lead me. He says that in the midst of God being with him at all times. Verse 10, where can I go from your spirit is the idea. And verse 10 says, even if I go to the farthest parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me. Your right hand, the hand of blessing, shall hold me. To be led by God is to understand rightly what it means to fear God and to be close to him. Not to fear God and to run. This is a fearing God that brings a closer relationship, a desire to know him more. Almost to cling to him because everything else around is a storm. This morning for you, where are you at? Do you need to be reminded that you are fully loved and fully known? Do you need to be reminded that he is with you in every circumstance? Through the mountaintop, through the valley. Do you need to maybe be reminded that you've been running and running from the one who has made you, who has knit you together, who knows all of your quirks and all of your strengths, who knows what makes you laugh and what makes you cry? He is the one who made you and knows all those things. Or this morning, do you need to be reminded that he leads you? He is the one who is the strong tower. He is holding us with his strong hand. He is upholding us so that we do not fall completely to destruction. I pray this psalm, one of the psalmist's favorites in all of the book of Psalms, I believe it's meant to remind us of who we are in Jesus Christ. And today, if you haven't trusted in Jesus, if you're wondering, who am I? Who will I be when I grow up? Some of us, we can't really say that question anymore. But we can know who we are. We can always come back to our identity in Jesus Christ. This is who he says you are. Fully known, never alone. Made by God Almighty, the Creator, the one who holds your hand and leads you. I pray as this morning, if you're not holding on to that hand, the Creator, the one who made you, you can cry out this morning by faith. Say, Lord, I need to trust in you as Savior. I need to trust that you can forgive my sins. I need to know that you have extended to me grace and love. I need to accept that freely. It's a gift that God gives to us. I pray even on Mother's Day, you would cling fast to that greatest gift. For the woman who fears the Lord, she is the one to be praised. Let's close in prayer. Father God, thank you for how we got to see a glimpse of who you are. A glimpse of who you say we are. Though the psalmist says, you have searched me completely and you know me completely. And the psalmist is still praising your name because he knows that even though God has seen it all, he has forgiven it all at the foot of the cross. And we want to be like the psalmist who said, search me, O God. Look intently at all that I am. See if there is any grievous way in me and lead me in the way of salvation. Oh, Father, even today, would we be able to say we want to be in that way of salvation? May we go out today declaring to others that way of salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.